So good morning, everyone. My goodness, what is it? It is the 29th of March. Spring is on the horizon. I have faith, despite freezing rain. I'm an optimist. So what we're going to do today is paper, paper, paper. We talked about everybody bringing their pile of paper and us triaging. Now, what I thought I would start out with is I put together a pile of my paper here. You can't see it, but it is here. Here it is. All right. And I'm going to do a little bit of warming up for you so that you kind of get a gist. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go around each person. All right. I'm going to start in the top left corner, and I'm going to ask each and every one of you, pull up a piece of paper, let's triage it. And because that way there will be more variety of types of paper, which means that whatever coaching I'm doing will have the greater, broader application. Good? All right, so get ready, get your paper ready. So I have two Costco receipts here that I found going back to it's so just going back to 2021. Okay, found this little stash on top of the filing cabinet downstairs that didn't get put away. Now, when I look at any receipt, all right. The only two things I'm looking for, or three things that I'm looking for. One is, does it have any application to my annual personal or business tax return? All right. So that's number one. And if it does, you put that in a folder for the year tax. All right. So the other second one, that application that would be important to think about is, did I buy anything on this receipt that has a warranty and I need to have the receipt in order for the warranty to stand its greatest chance of being respected, honored? All right. One of the things I do suggest, however, is that when you have a receipt that has a warranty attached to it, the item, the purchase, is that you make a photocopy of it or you scan it to your smartphone and you put it in a folder. All right. Because there are certain types, and when you're buying things in your processing paper and receipts, you're not always going to remember what type of paper you're dealing with. All right. That's pretty specific. And these can tend to fade. And the receipt that doesn't give the information is of absolutely no use in keeping and no use to you when you need it. All right. The third type of screen I would do for a receipt is this something that I'm not entirely committed to keeping? All right. However, if you happen to be involved in a buying spree where you're buying for non thoughtful, deliberate reasons, and the stuff is coming home in a bag and getting put down, then that would be the problem. I would have a special, I would keep the receipt, but I would put it in the bag.
Excuse me, Elaine. Sorry,
Yes.
Elaine, it's Zan. If you can just check the waiting room, please, if you recognize any of these.
I don't see anybody in the waiting room.
There are two phone number. One's a phone number and one's an iPhone.
I don't see
I've
anybody.
been sharing your link for a long time, so I don't think you're going to have any problems with people joining today, just to let you know.
Okay.
I've been breaking the rules for a very long time.
No. You were breaking the rules. I didn't set those rules. Okay, let's err on the side of okay. If the information has been out there, if you see anything that is
suspicious,
all right. So come on back to this to paper. So if you haven't decided whether to keep the thing or not, or you're on a buying spree, keep the receipt in the bag. All right. Keep the receipt in the bag. However, if you're not on a buying spree and you've got a receipt, you take that time right then. Don't put it off. All right. Unless there is projectile vomiting or a femoral bleed, you don't need to make it an emergency. All right. You stop, you look at it and think, is there anything on here that I am even 50% unsure I'm going to keep and I might return? You're going to need the receipt almost certainly to do it. Now, I don't think you actually technically need the receipt for Costco, but I wouldn't get into, I would have a one size fits all solution. So you don't have to spend time discriminating. Is it da 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 da? All right. If you keep it for a little while until you decide. Now, here's the thing. When you decide to keep the thing, that's what you do, and you recycle it. All right. Here's another one. Same thing. All right. Same thing. All right. Next, we've got here. We have got some receipts from a pharmacy at Costco. And those items, unless they are this year's purchase and you intend to put them on your medical line because you've had a lot of medical expenses this year, unless they qualify for, it's been a bad year. All right. And the chances are that you're going to exceed 3% of your net income. That's the only time you would keep them. You would put them in your tax folder. You have a little, I put it away. One sec. The other thing I would make sure I have a good supply of is these. All right. So either legal size or letter size, depending on the size of your filing cabinet, or maybe your little rolly filing cabinet, whatever the size is. And I would hand label them. And I would, these are 2022. They prove in this bad year, this may be an exemption. Then I would put it in the folder, and you keep your tax folder during the year close by. You know where it is, right? You do, because going and finding it later is a headache, and it just gives you stress. Oh, it's tax season. I got to find all this. Anytime anything comes in. Now, I don't know about the States, but I know in Canada that any other investments or financial information, they have to have sent you those by the end of February. All right. Legally, they have to have sent you. So if you're in the States, is there a date by which whoever is holding something to do with money or something to do with benefits has to send you a notification for tax? What is your drop dead date? All right. And keep a folder for tax. Start as soon as this tax season is finished. Now, these don't have any application, so I'm going to rip them because they've got a name on them, but no. Okay. Now, here is sort of a, you know, you did so well on your MasterCard or your Visa, they'd like to put you in the hole another $10,000. So they're going to increase your credit limit. All right. And you know that somebody stole my scissors. You know that you're not going to buy that deal. You're not going to take them up on that deal. Make sure to rip the phony card, all right? And make sure that if, just to have a very quick look at whatever, anything to do with money, anything to do with identity. So the two things you're protecting yourself against are, somebody gets some kind of number that they can actually go back and hack and find your social security number or your social insurance number. Then they can find out anything about you, financial and otherwise. All right. So you just look for that kind of personal information. If it's got your name, you rip that part off, and the rest is benign. I rip it up because I always have my hands with me. All right. It's very, very rare. It would have to be a really, really, really important piece of information that's contained on that paper that I would shred it. Now, for seniors, if you live in the Ottawa area, and I know there are a fair number of you here, there is a shred it. You go on the internet, a shred it location in the East End where once a month you can take up to 5 boxes of shredding. And they will shred it for free in return for a small donation. And all of that money goes to the Canadian Cancer Foundation. Now, in your area, Google. Never mind doing your own shredding. Okay, it's a messy, messy job. And find out, Google, is there free shredding services? And find out, you may be in a category as a senior, as a disabled person, as a something, all right, that you qualify for that. I would always have a box close by and take advantage of that before I start doing my own shredding. Because these places are usually bondable. So I'm looking at this. They'd like to lend another, $3,500. No, thank you. There you go. Not buying more debt. Too tempting. All right. This is a receipt for professional services. That would go, what year? Okay. This is, so a client loaned me her paper. All right. This goes back to 2013. And this part is completely benign. This part, it's done. It's done. This is completely benign. That can just go out as it is. Let's do 2 or 3 more and then start asking. Okay, so some people like to keep their medical records, all right? I suggest that if you keep them, that you don't keep them in paper form. I suggest that you take a picture or scan using your smartphone or a printer, if you have one, all right, and that you take a picture, email it to yourself, and have a personal file on your desktop or in your memory bank of your computer. Then it's there, all right? This is almost not readable because the ink is faded, the paper's deteriorated. If it's like when you bring something home and you decide to keep it, all right, and you really convince yourself you need it, which is what you're doing with the papers when you put it down. If you can't access it, if when you need it, it's not there for you, you don't have it. All right, you're pretending, you're setting up a very, very imperfect system. If it's not there for you and you can't access it, it's of absolutely no use to you and you actually don't have the thing that's that important. All right. So what is the criteria for keep? I believe it is firmly in the 1, 2, 3 range. Really important to keep. All right. And I'm just going to mute somebody here. Really important to keep. And I am going to keep it in a format. Now, one of the other things that I do, because I mostly, I guess, because my storage in my computer is business. Anything for personal reasons, I have an external hard drive that's labeled, all right, personal. And I would send it to myself in an email, and then I would download it to the external hard drive. All right. External hard drives, even though you are keeping things maybe that are in excess of what you actually need, they don't occupy a lot of space. You're not going to trip over them. They're not going to catch fire like paper. You've got to watch paper, because paper constitutes adding to the porous material in your home, which means if it gets wet, it's heavy. All right. And I have known people where parts of their home have collapsed. I've worked with people where parts of their home have collapsed because they just kept putting combustible and permeable, like absorbable materials, in an area of their home. All right. The other thing too is anything that is combustible, you really want to keep an eye on how much you keep, because you don't have to be the one who caused the problem. Somebody else in your building or on your street can have a fire. All right. And if, depending on where you are, you can become involved in that. Okay, so let me open this up now. And I'm going to start with, I'm going to unmute Nora. Nora, do you want to give us an example of a paper you have that you're wondering, or a little pile of papers that you're wondering about?
Sure. The very first one has no postmark, so I have no idea how long it's been sitting here, but I think it's a long time. And it's a permanent vote by mail application, which I had every intention sometime of filling out and sending in, so I didn't necessarily have to go to the polling place to vote. voting day is actually in a week, so it's probably too late to send it in for this particular election.
Okay.
I don't see if I can bring it with me when I vote and hand it in, or if I have to mail it, but something I should have done a long time ago and should certainly do now.
So I think that don't complicate a voting day by giving it to them. It probably won't get them anyway. Because that's not the job they're on that day. I would keep it. I would, now that you have it, sign the darn thing, pop it in the mail. Count on it not being there in time. All right. And the other thing too, for you, one of the things that would be really important, people, Nora has moved. And so, Nora, are you in the jurisdiction? So the question you ask yourself is, this thing, I want to do it. And does it apply to me now, today, in the context of where I am today?
Yep.
Was it a good old idea before? Even if it doesn't mean about moving in jurisdictions, is it me who I used to be and it was a good idea then? And does that good idea still hold with me as I am today in the context I'm living right now?
Gotcha. And yes.
And sometimes the context is, how much other paper do I have to manage here? All right. Is this a good idea? But it's a good idea that's lost its time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Nora?
Well, let's see. Here's a best deal ever from the Brookfield Zoo, which is a zoo that I have never been to. It's near my new place where I've moved to. And I held on to this because I thought it might be a great idea to bring my grandkids there, but I've never done it and I don't know where the zoo is, and I'm just going to throw it out.
Yeah, because you know what? If it becomes a good idea, which it's not right now, It was sort of a plant the seed good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the seed has been planted. And when you're looking for things, you're going to think, what was the name of that zoo? What was the name of that zoo? And you can go online and ask zoo near me. And it can become part of today that way without hanging on.
Yep.
Okay. Exactly. I'm going to mute you. And then I'm going to ask Patricia. Patricia, unmute yourself. Tell us about paper you've got.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two things here. One is a parking, a speeding ticket that I paid.
Okay.
10 kilometers over the speed limit.
Shame on them for even sending it to you.
I know. I agree. I agree.
So how long ago?
Sometime in 22.
Okay. So you don't get to deduct that. Because you're not running a business, I get to deduct mine. Mind you, I still lose my points if I was going excessively over. However, you don't get to deduct that. That's 2022. They would be on you right now if it was unpaid. All right. Right. What do you think your best solution there is?
Well, I've got the withdrawal on my bank statement. So seems to me I don't need it.
No, but I would rip it up because that is personal information.
Yes.
I always, always ask you. Now, don't be hypervigilant, but I always ask you, be careful about papers that carry personal information in case somebody uses it to set up an identity. So just rip it up in strips about an inch wide, and they're probably not going to get any continuity of information that would be useful to them. Don't sweat bullets and try to shred the thing. All right. That just means there's a pile somewhere waiting to be done. And it's a messy job. Have you got another one? You're muted.
I have my investment report that is a paper thing.
All right. And for what period?
This one was for last year, ending in December.
Okay. In case ending in December 2022.
Yes.
All right. You may need that for income tax if there was revenue. So okay. Put it in the tax file. Okay.
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 Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Donna, unmute yourself. Have you got any paper? Donna M. Ontario.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have mountains of paper.
That's okay. I'm here for you. You want to pick one?
Okay. This came in yesterday, the day before. It's a receipt for a notebook that I bought for this particular thing, but it has a "How did we do today?" chance to win $1,000 gift card. Go online and fill in a survey.
Okay. Is it, first of all, is your life right now in such order that you, it's worth, because how many people got that coupon?
Oh, okay.
Number one. Thousands. So it's not like you're going to get it. It's not like a guarantee. So the question I would ask myself is my life so serene right now that I want to spend anytime going online to do a survey and the off chance that, now, if it's a store that I really, 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 really like, and I use all the time. One time I won a turkey, right, at M&M. Okay. However, I didn't have to do anything. I was just in their data bank. Is life really in order right now that you'd like to spend time doing that?
Not even close.
Okay. So what's your best? Is your name on it?
No.
Okay. So I would recycle that if it's paper. You got one more?
You got it. Okay. That was easy.
That's a toughie.
Everybody's
getting a chance, by the way, no matter how long it takes.
Let's see what this is. National Travel Survey. Oh, from November 2019. I think that's an easy toss.
Is your name on it?
No, householder.
Okay, there you go. That was easy. Okay. I want you to apply that going through. And Donna, if there's a lot of paper, people, if there's a lot of paper like Donna says she has, I want you to go through. I want you to triage first. I wouldn't normally say that. Normally I would say pick up one paper and make a decision at a time. But if you know that paper has been lying around for a long time, the highest probability is that most of that is recyclable, maybe with a little ripping. And so you're going to feel a whole lot better if you have one other container beside you and you go through and say, no, more, too current. Oh, there, out. Oh, out. And triage and lower the pile that's in front of you. Do it by a stack of paper that is doable. And do it every time. What's the low-hanging fruit? All right. What's the low-hanging fruit? And then go back to the need to have a closer look. Okay?
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna. Okay, Crafty. Can I ask you to unmute? And have you got paper?
Yeah, this is Sheila. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi. No, I'm at my friend's place and I wasn't here last week, so I didn't know I was supposed to bring that. So I'll have to do that another time.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. Shirley. Can you?
Here we go. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. Yeah. So I have, oh dear.
That's okay.
Went right out of the frame.
No, you're good.
I can see. I can't see you right now, but I
that's okay. We can hear you and we can see you. So pick up a piece of paper.
Okay. Well, I tend, I find it helpful, even if it's junk mail as it arrives, to put just write the date on the envelope if I can't deal with it right away.
If it's junk mail, what? If it's junk mail, why would you record it? Why would you give yourself more work?
Well, if it's obviously junk mail, I don't, yeah. Okay. But if it's something I want to just even take a look at briefly, then I know how old it is. But yeah, this particular one is a receipt I need for taxes. And I always start a folder on January 1st. I don't wait for the end of the previous year, tax year. Okay. And one for something that would have to do with tax receipts. And then, of course, right. I have a place for current bills.
Okay. So Shirley, come on back. Come on back to the, even if I want to have a look at it a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to suggest and encourage you that you've just tripled your work, even if in the moment, like say, mail arrives today, all right, and you want to triage it, put it down and come back to it the same day and open it up, all right? Don't record it to put it away to come back to. I'm going to suggest that you spend, unless you're late for heart surgery, all right, or there's a penalty or somebody's wedding, all right, it would have to be really, really, really time sensitive, important to date it and then come back to it, because A, it'll sit there. And what is the point in knowing how old it is? It has a date on it. Probably it had in the stamp on the envelope. Open it.
Oh, well, some of it doesn't. For example, like I'm, it might be a realtor listings in the area and I am looking at selling. So, sometime when I get the paper under control. So knowing which agents are active in my area. Yeah.
You can do that. You can do that online, Shirley. You don't need
It's not realistic.
And you don't know. Yeah, it is realistic. It is realistic because you don't know who is the best seller. You don't know who knows your area any better than anybody else. You want a high performer. You don't want to wade through everybody who does business in your area. You know by the signs that are out on the lawns when you're going to sell, how long that sign is there, all right? And you
only know- in my immediate area. I don't have a car, so I'm not driving around. So
okay.
Like in my own block, I know, yeah. But that's not every day.
Yeah. Okay. All right. On to the next. Lynn, do you want to unmute yourself?
Sure. I'm just surrounded in paper. Luckily, it's not a lot of bills because I've made them paperless.
What is it? What is it? Let's talk about what it is.
I have piles and piles of investment things that I get from my investment banker.
Okay.
And I don't open them. I throw them in the pile because I'm too scared to throw them away, but I never really look at them. So I've opened them now. And I'm going through them and I feel exactly the same way. I don't think I should throw them out, but I'm never going to look.
How old are they?
2022.
You probably, if you got any return on that, you may need to keep, you all probably do need to keep those. You don't need to keep every sheet of it, but you need to keep the part that says what you made in case you need to include that on your income tax.
yeah, well, they do a summary. Here's an example of what's in it that I'm sure at first blush we'd think we should keep, but I'm going to actually throw away or shred. And it's a T, whatever they do, a T5008 or something where you have to claim it. There's one of those for every individual trade. There's hundreds. But with the CRA, it's all online now. They get everything. I've actually done my taxes for 2022. It's all already recorded. So I figure, why keep that? And it's tons of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it defies logic. Like, I know it doesn't sound logical to get rid of anything that starts with a T where the government's concerned for taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds, you know, like I shouldn't do that, but it's, they've already got the information and it's hundreds of sheets of paper that I don't think I'm ever going to go through.
Okay.
Okay. I'll keep just the T ones. How's that?
Well, yeah. So whatever the summary is, that's what I would keep. And I have to disagree with you, even though it's all online, if they need it, they don't want to be looking it up for you. They want you to provide it on the form that you file. Right. And so I would keep it until you have filed and you've received whatever the confirmation
assessment
is.
I have filed. Right. Okay. I have filed and the assessment's done and it's all automatically populated.
Okay. All right.
So I think it's good, but I'll keep the T ones, you say, the summary page and the T's just to be safe and I can toss them in another few years.
Or you can toss them once you get your assessment. You don't need to keep them for a few years.
Because
if you want to know from your financial advisor how you're doing, you ask him or her for a summary and they'll send it to you.
Correct.
You need it. You don't need to. The more you have, the less you can find.
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So actually, the person I wanted to talk to there was Lynn G. Lynn, can you unmute if you want to.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi.
So, do you want to pick up a piece of paper and we'll triage it together? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I have quite a collection in the basement.
Okay, just
so
pick up one.
That's what I've been doing lately. I just pick a big pile and
pick up one.
Oh. I'm still in my nightgown.
The what?
Yeah, I have stuff like from years ago, and it's all about gardening stuff. When I move
Lynn,
in the house, you know,
Lynn,
and I
Lynn, what we're gonna
so
do, Lynn,
I know. Yeah.
What we're gonna do today is each person's gonna pick up one or two pieces of the paper they have. It's likely to be different from the others. And so that's how everybody's going to get a taste of when they find your type of paper in their pile, they know what to do. So it's not to discuss paper, it's to actually pick up one to two pieces of paper and triage it. Do you want to do that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm not in my nightgown, so I don't want to show my camera.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you, okay? All right. Kim, do you want to do it? Okay. Do you want to unmute?
There we go.
There we go. Okay. Let's look at two pieces of paper.
Yeah, I just found three important tax documents while I was sorting.
Okay.
This is an Empower. This is probably a bill for a credit card. So I have a huge stack I'm going through while we're here.
Uh-huh.
And this is, let's see. Yes, this is, oh, this is a savings account.
A current savings account?
Yep.
All right. Do you bank online?
No.
You don't. Okay. So you may want to keep, now open it up. Just open it up and see, yep. Are there any fillers in there along with the information that talks about the actual transactions in that savings account?
Are there any fillers? What do you mean by that?
Fillers, you know, like you can get a mortgage. It's an information sheet. It's an information sheet, but you know what? So what? You can call the bank and find out the same thing.
No, it's just a statement of what's in my savings account.
Okay. All right. So you probably, if you don't bank online, you probably want to keep that in a file with the account number on the top of it and the short form for the bank. Do you have a second one? A second thing you want to triage?
Sure. Let's see. Oops. God. There's my W-2 form that I was looking for. This is just my, I had to print it out online because I couldn't find it. So I'd gone to our ADP site and printed it out from there. But yeah, so now I have a stack of four important tax documents. So there it is.
Keep going. That's good. Okay, yeah. Peter, do you want to unmute?
What name did you say?
Peter.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, you got to unmute, Peter. Can I unmute you? Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi. Have you got?
Listen, I want to say, first of all, you do a wonderful service. You understand, let me tell you, you really do. Oh, but I'll tell you, I've got, when I open, I come home and, debt just drives me crazy. And I know it's going to be a bad tax year for me. But I've got a card table in the living room, another table in front of my chair, my computer, which I hardly can use because the desk is cluttered with stuff. So I come home, open the mailbox. I don't want to because I know it's bills or whatever. Right. So when I come home, I'm a crossing guard part-time. So I usually have a bag of a toque or a glove. So I put the mail in there, come home and put it wherever. So I was going through some receipts last night. When I find if I'm tired or I just can't face it, I don't do it. So I'm pretty messed. But I was going through some receipts last night, but I can show you. I just received today, and I opened the mail. Actually, I couldn't find this the other day. Okay. It's actually my new debit Visa card. Thank God. I remember getting it out of the mailbox, Elaine, and I thought, what did I do with it? It was in one of my bags. So here it is.
Can I encourage you? I know that it's not possible 100%, but you know what? When it's time to take the Band-Aid off, rip the darn thing off. Because all you're doing is you are, and I had to teach myself to do this, all right? I didn't let it build up a lot, but it takes no time. My gosh, if you look at the amount of paper that comes into unsolicited every week, it's enough to ground you. All right. So that's the thing. It's like swim for shore, people, by when you get it, try not to put it down. Put it down and then promise yourself, I am coming back to that the moment my boots are off and my coat's hung up, or I've done whatever like short thing I have to do. I'm coming back. And at the very least, rip the envelopes open and know what's in there.
Yeah.
All right.
There's fillers in there. Yeah. Yeah. I've got a message from the local member of parliament. I just looked at that. And then a car repair bill back from November, which I should keep, I guess. And I've got other repair bills. Could be in the glove compartment, could be somewhere. And
As soon as you find them, Peter, I want you to make a file, because yes, you're right. You probably do need to keep those repair bills. Yeah. All right. In case, I mean, my husband had, for instance, 8, what do they call it when they boost your battery? All right. Eight boostings. And on the 9th visit, which he was going to have to pay for, he had a record of the other boostings. And guess what? The battery was broken. Like the battery.
Right.
Deficient or defective or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He got all of those refunded. So you do want to do that, but have a folder handy for the things. Yeah. All right. And even if you don't have the folder in the filing cabinet right now, make it handy so that you can put the things that happen all the time. Now, you picked up that letter from your member of parliament. Is that really something you're going to sit down and read?
You know what? I looked briefly. I think it's going to be going, you know where.
Unfortunately. Why don't you do it right now? Why don't you put it in recycling right now? Because when you want to talk to your member of parliament, all right, you can talk to him. Everything that comes in is interesting, but
my hand's in the way here. You know what? The mistake. Oh, talking about a credit card, got Capital One, and I hadn't had a credit card in a while. I thought, okay, it came in handy for the car, but they gave me a $5,000 limit, and I should have phoned or whatever, say, no, I don't want that much. It's charged up car repairs and living from just like that. Then I've got to pay her back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're seductive. Right on. They're seductive. It's not a deal. Anybody with a dollar sign around the services, they're not doing you a favor. Okay. Have to run for Graham, though. Okay. All right. Graham, how about you?
Yeah, doing well, thanks. What I struggle with is things like funeral
cards.
Program for the funeral.
Right.
You know, they've got a photograph of the relative or whatever. I've got a load of these. All the funerals I go to, I keep them.
Okay.
And,
out of respect for the person?
But it's also the guilt thing of getting rid of them. And then I might not remember if I'm speaking to the members, family, and saying, oh, I don't remember, you know. I have this sort of thing about having to keep all the information, the year he died, all that sort of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So I can show a little bit of respect and say, oh, it's 10 years to your dad now or whatever, you know. And things like, you know, daughter's graduation.
What would happen? Yeah, daughter's graduation, yeah, of course. What would happen if you just said, gee, it's been a long while you've been grieving?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's just, Aline, have you heard of anencastic behavior?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my challenge. And it's almost, I'm going against what my brain's telling me, you know, that I'll need it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, how do I just kind of release that.
As soon as guilt is involved, you're on the wrong track. There is nothing to be guilty about that you don't remember precisely, something that is a moving target. Mm-hmm. All right. A long time ago, I gave up remembering that the specific details. If I need them, I can look them up. Or I can say, gosh, it's been a long time. How long has it been? And you know what? They know because they're living it. But I don't need to live their grief. And the fact that, and you're not being respectful for the deceased. You're being compassionate for the living, mm-hmm. right? It's a support to them. You're not alone, and their life mattered.
Yeah.
That's what, when you remember, but you don't need to remember the details. It doesn't give them anything extra.
I mean, I suppose I could scan it, but I mean, I'm now at the stage of something like over 150,000 photographs on my phone. Do you know what I mean? It's just getting crazy stuff that I've this terrible acquisition of information. I'm just totally.
So I want you, when you're assigning guilt or an obligation, like an internal obligation, I want you to think of the three rings of relationship. All right. And the center ring, ring number one, all right, is I could call these people at midnight tonight and they would pick up my call and they would respond to whatever the reason for the call was. All right. Ring number two, those are your intimate, really close relationships. Then the ring number two are those people who are friends. And you know what? If you're planning something or you want to have some fun or and you know reliably what their tastes are, kind of, because you, those are the people you'd call. All right. And there's a certain kind of not really definite sound trust, but there's a trust, kind of a trust element there. All right. Ring number three, those are the people you know, you kind of like, they're enjoyable, you may socialize with them. When you see them, they're happy to see you, you're happy to see them. But you know what? There is not an intimate relationship. There is not a relationship of responsibility. All right. Some level of personal or social responsibility.
Just acquaintances.
They are. But they're enjoyable. Glad to have them in your life. The only people that you are actually need to be thinking that you have a responsibility to be loving and compassionate, not precise in the details. All right. That doesn't give them anything. It's because you remember it was 10 years doesn't bring the person back. All right. And that's the only thing that would really give them comfort. Mm-hmm. It's that you're giving them compassion, love, and respect and support. Those are the people in ring number one.
Yeah.
All right. So when I'm, I've got two little monsters here, hounds of hell, Frenchies. And when they're doing something and I think it's really cute, I take a picture or a video. And then every week I go through and I wean it. Like, as I'm just sitting doing something, I do. Because you know what? This week they've done something else that's cute. Right. And occasionally there's a jewel. There's a something. Oh, I'll never get that picture again. I will never get that picture again. And sometimes I'll keep that. Mm-hmm. All right. But yeah, I wean it every week because... Because those are the things you want to remember. Well, no, but I do it while I'm sitting watching television, you know, and I kind of go through and And then I think, I have a better one.
You don't feel a loss. You don't feel as though you're losing something, no?
Well, there's a little tiny, are you sure the other one's better? Are you sure the other one makes you laugh more? But then I have hope that tomorrow's another day and something great is going to happen. Then. And so the fact that this happened 6 weeks ago, unless it was like outstanding. All right. Now, outstanding might be when the person bumped into my car and damaged it, and I'm keeping that for until it's resolved. But once it's resolved, it's gone.
Because this is one of the things I've learned is that the more open loops I have in my brain, the more I'll keep on getting tormented by it. I've got to close off some of these loops and just say, that's done. And the brain rests when it knows there's nothing you can do about it.
And also you ask yourself the same question you would ask yourself anytime, because there is no perfect answer. There's no right answer, is what is the worst that could happen if I was to make room? And you know what the answer is? I'm making room for the future with the hope that something equal or better is going to happen. Right. But if I hold on to the past, it weighs me down.
Yeah. And you don't move forward.
No, and it doesn't give you anything.
Brilliant. I've taken up a lot of your time. Thank you, Elaine.
Okay. Oh, Helen, hi. Do you want to unmute and talk about two pieces of paper? Where did she go? There you are.
Hi. So of course, I got distracted with something.
Okay.
I actually sorted a whole bunch while I was listening to, and then I have like the boxes of containment that I keep papers in so that they're, but I have two boxes like this. So I just took one of them out. Some stuff was easy. Like it was car repair, seasonal tire swaps from Costco. I only keep that because if there's something with the tire, they do replace. I've had that happen to me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So it's a warranty. It's something I've repaired, breaks, and it's, you know, it's still under warranty and whatever. Mm-hmm. I have proof of that. Where I actually am a little stumped, and I've created like a file, but just to contain it, is over the last year. It's not the tax slips, because that is something I put into the tax folder. It's transaction confirmations for like our ESP withdrawals.
Okay, would that not be in your bank account anyway?
No. Yeah. I mean, I know what went in and what went out. It's just from the specific funds and the specific investments. They're by law obligated to send us a confirmation
of
the transaction. So not just what's received, but each individual company like Fidelity and McKenzie, like things like that. So I get them in. And why I keep them, I don't know. I guess just I have yet to reference them ever because I have them.
If you needed to reference them though, Helen, you go back to your financial advisor and say, I'd like a record of this.
Not only that, if I get login information directly with McKenzie Fidelity, I can go in myself. Out loud, and why am I hanging on to it? You're right.
Yeah, that's the job you want to put 5 minutes into.
So why I need to corral only then to offload, I don't know. Okay.
And think, if you actually spend 5 minutes going into each one of those sites, 5 minutes each, all right, to get yourself signed in and whatever, update your password, every one of the other ones you come across, you can let go of. Now, that's the kind of thing, however, on financial, you either have to rip it very, 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 very fine, or you do need to shred it, all right, because that's current, it's active, and it is available for hacking.
Yeah, you know, I have years of these, and I've been keeping like 7-8 years, but truly, I have yet to find the time and the desire to peruse them. Like, there's always something else. Like, I don't know why I have them even.
So open up your calendar, all right? Yeah. Open up your calendar and pick a day when you are going to go into each one of those sites and sign in and create an online presence so that you can do it when and if you ever want to. Okay?
So it'll be, you know, like, I can't find the date of when I would actually want to.
You're never going to want to do it, but it's sort of like going to the dentist. It's sort of like going to the dentist, right? Today's the day.
Yeah, it's...
Just pick a day. Pick a day that isn't already committed.
because, you know, I'm going to want to do that in June when the weather turns nice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know what? In the meantime, okay, but here's the thing. You don't need to hold on to them. Let go of all of them. And then pick February when you think, gee, I'm not going out in that. Doesn't matter when it is, because you're not going to need them anyway. You have a backup.
I won't need them. I know. I know what came in. I know it was deliberate. I filled up the paperwork.
That's right.
I know it was received. I know that it, like.
Yeah. I'm going to move on, though, okay? Kelly, are you there? I'll come back to Kelly. Alina, are you there?
I'm here, but I am not ready. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm listening. Thank you.
Okay, all right, Christina.
Do you mean Christine?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure going to have time.
No, sorry, Christina. I'll come back to you, Christine, sorry. How did we do this? Okay. Oh, everybody changed. Darn. Okay.
Hi. Sorry. You asked me.
Yes.
Quickly. Thank you, because I know you have to get to Christine as well. My issue, I'm not even really going to get into it. It's a very long history. It's papers. It's newspapers. I know that I have a lot of huge issues with it. It's lasted decades. But I just want to tell you something else. I'm going through some papers now. So I have already gotten rid of a couple of them. I'm getting ready to get rid of a couple of them. So I feel good that way. But I want to tell you something else, which is related to this. Yesterday, I faced a medical condition, two medical procedures that I've put off for about 5 years because I was terrified of doing them. And I got them done. And I made the appointment 6 months ago. And I'm so proud of myself that I didn't cancel the appointments. Okay. And I faced my fear. Okay. And I think it's because of all the work that I've been doing over the last year with you that I'm starting to face some of my biggest fears in my life.
I am really, really pleased for you. Really.
So I thank you so much for, you know, the tests, the procedures that I went through. I don't know the results, but whatever happens, I'm very, very glad that I faced them.
Absolutely. And
I think the work that we've done here has been helping me face some of the really difficult things in my life. So thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
And I'm going through papers. I'm doing it slowly. I'm hoping to increase the speed as I get more comfortable with not having to look at things before I toss them, because I know it's paper. So I know the silliness. I have less trouble with papers that are important. I have folders for those. I have less trouble with that. It's this, and this has gone on for 25 years.
So let me give you a little heads up on newspapers, magazines, that kind of thing. It's the fear of missing out. It's the fear of there's information in there that I would like to have, but here's the other side of the coin. All right. The other side of the coin is when you need it, it's still going to be there. All right. If you have a paper, it's on record somewhere. And chances are, if you were to Google it, you're going to get a broad spectrum of opinions and perspectives on what the event was. It's really dangerous to make any one source of paper be the authority to the extent you keep it, all right? Because every opinion in every paper, in every magazine is automatically skewed for the political and personal gain of the industry that is producing it. All right. And the best way to be informed is online, but you have to sift through the nonsense too. But there's a lot of nonsense in newspapers too.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
Christine. Yeah.
Yes. So that's actually a great parallel to mine, because I'm also an information hoarder. And what you said earlier about everything is interesting sums up my life. And I've tried to take newspapers and go online like Ottawa Citizen or other sites and get the digital copy of these articles. The problem is a lot of them you can't access anymore. Like they're just not there. And so I have like a huge fear of getting rid of these papers because I'm never going to find these papers again. Like if you try to get archives from 20 years ago, like you're having to pay tons of money to try to get them. You won't remember the titles. Like it's just.
However, tell me, and I don't, and I mean this in a question way, not in a sneaky come in the back door way. Tell me what events in the last 20 years have an impact on your life today, because today is all you have.
I write and I'm a student of political philosophy. So that's kind of what I'm doing a lot of is I am going back in time and paralleling things from the past. So everything to do with abortion, everything to do with like there's certain issues that I've particularly taken interest in and I write about a lot. So it just feels like losing something if I get rid of those. Or there are those things that relate to other social justice issues that tie into what I'm working on. So anything with poverty, anything to do with like women's parenting stuff, there's a lot of stuff that just links in. And I feel like as a writer or somebody who wants to write a book, I'll be losing all that if I don't have that handy somewhere.
But you don't need to be the storage center. Have you ever looked at getting access to the archives?
I don't know how to do that. And I know the online stuff isn't very
good. Spend time finding out how to get access to the archives. All right. Because I know when I was doing a research paper, I was like mind-boggling. And I was a student at the time, so I can't remember right now whether that was what gave me access. But you can get access to the archives. You've got to go in, I think, to do it. Now, they may have digitalized. Well, they digitalized it anyway, but they may make it remote. That may be a possibility, or you may just have to go in. But believe me, you're not going to be a COVID risk going in there because there are very few people who care to go into the archive building. All right. And so look at that first before you sign up to be the storage unit for every interesting piece of information, because it exists somewhere.
Wouldn't it be really hard to find in those rooms, though?
No, because you're not finding it. You're doing a search. And as far as I know, they bring it to you. Yeah, you're not going through the documents. These are things that the people who work there use gloves, you know, but they're there. And it's a center that may well be available to you before you fill your house with something that is absorbable and be combustible. Okay.
You definitely tapped the nail on the head though, as far as it being FOMO, because there's always that fear of, oh my gosh, if I get rid of this, I won't find it. And I'm struggling with same thing with magazines, my Alive magazines, the articles might be online or similar info might be online, but oh my God, that article is right here and I'll lose it and it'll be gone. And which doesn't make any sense because I'm
the more you have the left. The more you keep, the less you have.
I know, because I can't find them.
You won't find it. And if it's not accessible, you're kidding yourself. You don't have it if it's not accessible. Okay? It's all interesting, but it's not available for the purpose that you intend. And no person can do that. No person can manage that. Okay?
I know. I just have to bite the bullet, but it's so hard.
I know.
I've moved an entire storage locker of papers for over 20 years. So,
yeah, okay, we're going to move on to Alana. Okay, Alana, do you want to unmute and pull out a paper or two? Oh, Alana, I think is
watching.
You're not located where there's paper.
Okay. I do appreciate all the topics that have been brought up today. I'm definitely an information hoarder, and the gentleman that spoke a little while ago, I'm 100% identical to what he's going through. So I do appreciate all of that. Every category, I'm I'm guilty of. Like the lady that just spoke, I have been paying for storage and paper and moving it in and out of the house for far too many years. So all of this information has been really helpful, and I've been really trying to apply those techniques, a little bit each and every day. So, and I'm trying to do it now and master it and hopefully get rid of it all in the next couple of months. So I really appreciate this opportunity.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Good. Okay. Beverly, do you want to unmute? Are you there? BV Anderson, do you want to unmute? Oh, where'd she go? Yeah, there you are. Hi. Oh, you got to unmute yourself.
Okay.
There we go.
Good morning, everybody. I am trying to downsize my work papers because I'm going to be retiring. So, I have whittled it down to what I legally have to keep, and I'm getting my organization to scan in to our electronic system documents that they need to have access to.
Okay.
And I've had some success at home. But right now I can tell you I've got advertising flyers, with coupons for fast food restaurants, and I throw them on the stairs at the bottom of my stairs at my house entry, and I think, okay, maybe there's some good deals in there, but is that stuff I should be eating? And I have that fight with myself, and I've got one sitting on the dash in my car and thinking, I go by there all the time, maybe I'll use that to pick something up.
So help me understand. First of all, for most of those coupons, they have an expiry date. Not all, but most. Okay, yeah. So that's number one. For the 2-for-1 special, are you really going to eat two of them anyway? Okay, so is it a deal? Aren't they really when they send those out?
Not for my backside.
I know, I understand completely. And women of a certain age, it's a big fight. So all that to say, aren't those coupons really more about, look, we love you enough to give you a deal. Buy from us. And would it really change when you go, what do I want today?
Yeah.
Would you really go to somebody who gives 2-for-1 versus what you want that day?
Yeah.
It's not groceries.
It's fast food. It's instant gratification. And not good for me.
No, however, so are you susceptible to, I need to know I got a deal. Are you susceptible to that message?
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay? Do you know that there is no such thing as a deal? Unless you had the idea first. Yes. If you are moving somebody else's agenda up to the front of your brain where you make the choice, that's not a deal.
Yeah, they wouldn't offer the food at that price if they weren't still making money.
Oh my goodness. And right? And so one of the things that I do, unless there may be two locations where for a brief time I might keep a reminder, all right? But there are two places that I would go anyway, and I would, and I wouldn't go that often, all right? And right. I'm not talking about food, I'm talking about other things. So I started to approach, if I just buy what I need and what I most want, no matter pretty much what the price is, if it's within my wheelhouse, all right, of pricing, and not everything is, then that's what I'm going to do. And in the long run, I'm going to spend a lot less money. All right, because I'm meeting my agenda.
Right.
I'm meeting my need. I'm not meeting your need as a business and making your agenda my agenda. If I didn't intend, now occasionally there might be something that I'm looking for that is a bigger item. And I have it kind of back here in the back of my mind where, you know, I'm going to keep an eye out for a new couch because the adorable deplorables have ruined the one we have or, you know, whatever. And so that's a longer term thing. So I will keep an eye out for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get a deal, that's great. But a deal for something that does not meet what I would be proud to have and happy to have in my life, I'm not buying your deal because it's a deal, because that doesn't meet my need. And I'm not talking necessarily a more expensive or a whatever. If I didn't have the idea in the back of my mind, then I'm not meeting your agenda. You are manipulating me into believing that this is actually a deal. And you're selling me something you want to sell, not that I want to have.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Susie, do you want to unmute? Susie there. Okay, good. Hi, Susie. Do you want to unmute?
Oh, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, thank you. I've heard a lot of different kinds of paper. So what I'm thinking of is I have a lot of paper where I write things down during the day when I'm listening to a meeting or a call. I write down telephone numbers. And then because I'm in the middle of something, and then I have all these little like envelopes and scrap papers and pieces of paper with what feels like important information. And sometimes I can't read it when I look at it because I've written it fast or something. And then I think, well, I'm going to keep it because I might be able to read it next time. And sometimes I do figure out what it was. And so it feel, and I do know that I'm the kind of, you know, they talk about the archetypes. I'm like the historian. I love to keep every bit of history in detail. So that's why papers, you know, are such a challenge. So that's a lot of it. A lot of these little envelopes I have in front of me with numbers that I, you know, want to put into maybe the proper notebook and that kind of thing. I'm creating more paper every day by this process.
So I have two ideas, okay? And one of them, this is one, make yourself a to-do sheet and carry it with you and do the date, put the date on it. And then whatever, it doesn't matter, the mix of things, whatever it is on that day that was in the back of the sheet of whatever was of particular interest to you, all right? And don't keep this more than a week. It's either worth doing or it's worth nothing.
Thank you.
All right. And the other thing too, when you're on the run, because this, you'd have to carry one of these. All right, you'd have to carry one of these.
Okay.
Which when you go to the grocery stores, you know, going to make them think you're the secret shop. This is the other thing I do. Hold on one sec. I have one small. We're talking small.
Mm-hmm.
Book, and that's in my purse for when I am mobile. And something important, a piece of information, you're right, a phone number, a something else that is timely and you need to write it down. And I also have a little pen, it's in my purse, that hangs on the back of the binder of it. And so, you know, if it's a license plate because somebody dinged my car or it's a whatever, you have it with you, but you date it, all right? And then you've got a week. It's either important or it's not important.
Okay. Thank you. That's really helpful.
it won't handle everything, but it'll cut down that need to hold on to. And then, so the other thing too on this one is when I start using this one, and I use this every day at work. Mm-hmm. All right. I put little boxes beside it. All right. So in this column, I do, there you go. And I tick it off as I go and I scratch through when I do it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Yeah. So it's very rewarding too, because just because it happened today doesn't mean you can handle it today. It doesn't mean that the person is available today. But if you wrote it down, chances are that's something that is important for you to do.
Right? Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And is there a way to access the recording? Because I couldn't be here at the top of the hour.
Yes, absolutely. I'm recording this and I'm putting it, it will be in the library under a webcast recordings. It does take Braden a little, like maybe a week to get things.
Okay.
He has to screen it and edit it.
And how do we get to your site? I just found out about you today.
Recording.ca.
Okay, thank you so much.
And under recording.ca, there's webcast recordings, and that's where all the podcasts are housed.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. MG, do you want to unmute?
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes, I can, sure.
Yes. Okay. I could identify with everything that everyone said. There's maybe just three things. One, I don't know if it's really pertinent. I have this old immunization record, a folder from the Ministry of Health of the shots I got, and it's dated.
Are you talking COVID shots?
No. If you had polio or diphtheria or tetanus, it's dated, I guess that would be 2010, the first of the fifth month.
Okay, so
I only have one.
So what I do, MG, is I would go online and I would query when you need a booster for each one of those, because having that's very interesting. But if all it's telling you is you're overdue for the booster and you're not actually covered, then you're not actually covered. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes. Well, to do the internet stuff is another story for me.
Okay.
I'm not that savvy in that department.
That's okay. Then what I would suggest is that you call your local public health department and get the info line and just ask these particular vaccines, under what conditions or what duration of time in order to have coverage. All right. The coverage that it's recorded here still active. When is the due date? And your public health department will know that, and they'll tell you.
They have all this records then? If I go to a doctor?
No, it's not that they have your records. It's that you have a polio shot. Okay, how long is a polio shot good for? And when do I need to get a booster in order to have coverage for polio? Or do I need tetanus? How long does a tetanus shot last? And should I get one proactively in case I step on a nail, or should I get one when the event happens within whatever? COVID, when was my last COVID vaccine and how long is that good for? And does it meet the variant that's out there now? And when should I consider getting an updated vaccine? Otherwise, all it is interesting information about what happened in the past. Because you've had a polio shot, you've had tetanus, you've had whatever, doesn't mean that you're covered right now.
Okay.
Okay.
I understand that. It's just that if they sometimes they have asked me, I says, I don't remember. I don't know. Did you get one? I don't even know if I got that at all. Like diphtheria. If I wouldn't have seen it, I wouldn't have known. You know, I don't remember, period.
So that's true, but almost always they're going to ask you, when did you have it? And if you create a habit of being active or proactive, here, I have this record in front of me right now. Of all of these vaccines that I've had, what is still any good to me? Maybe there are vaccines. Then you can say, no, I'm up to date on that one. And you're going to remember it because it's going to be within your memory bank. Like it's not 20 years ago or 15 years ago. It's maybe a year ago or two. I did get a vaccine for whatever.
All right.
Okay. All right. Just make sure it serves your purpose, and your purpose is to be covered.
Okay. Well, thanks. That's very useful. Okay. The other thing is, okay, I have this, I guess I could throw this out, this old bank book that I would draw stuff out. It was a long time ago. I could discard that probably, right? It doesn't exist.
What I would do, however, if that bank account is still open. All right.
It's closed.
Okay. If it's closed, you're fine. Rip the cover off, rip the sheet off on the front that lists the bank, the account number, and then just rip the book a little up and toss it. Yeah.
And the other thing is I have,
So I'm going to need to move on, okay? Because I've got like 10 more people. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Kylie, you want to unmute?
Yes. And I'm going to start the video.
Okay.
All right. And so this file folder is full of pieces of paper that contain contact information. And like, I'm going to give this one paper here that I took out of it yesterday.
Okay.
So like in 2016, this very nice real estate agent came and gave us a free house appraisal because we were thinking, did we want to appeal our tax assessment? So I put this in that folder and I had been thinking, gee, what if I want to get in touch with that guy again? But the reason I'm sort of sharing this with you is because like this is 2016 and the way I put it away was a copy of the article on, you know, how to research appraisals, you know, two pieces of paper I printed out on, you know, comparative house listings in my neighborhood, and his business card.
Okay, his business card for sure.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's like
the rest of it. The market changes and it's all interesting what the house is sold for, but there's an ebb and a flow and a dip and a whatever. And when you're going to sell, hopefully you're not going to have your back to the wall and have to sell in a down market.
Yeah.
Right? We have a drawer, all right, in the kitchen where any of the restaurants we like to order from, we keep their menu, any of the people we want to do business with, we keep their business card. That's where I put it. And the rest of it, let it go.
Okay. I got one more. I know we're hurrying. I mean, if I just go in here and I pick one thing at random, literally at random.
Love it. Do it.
And I go, all right, this appears to be an email from 2014. Okay. And it's just contact information for a social worker that I have no contact with anymore because this dates back to when I was dealing with like my parents, right? Okay. And them going into care. So to me, now I look at this and I go, would I ever need the name of that social worker who was helping in that situation more than 10 years ago with my parents who are now deceased?
Well, so here's another question. The question I would raise is, first of all, are they still in that job? Not likely.
Mm-hmm. And good one.
Have they been promoted if they were any good? Maybe and then not available anyway. And what agency would you call, or, and you can Google that would meet the need now? All right. And that would be the person because.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't keep anybody's contact like that for more than maybe a year or two. All right. But it would be in the smallest form possible and it would be in a drawer. I just keep a drawer, like a small drawer. You know, go in there. But the other thing, guys, about manuals and warranties, all right, don't make a big headache. I went and I got a box this big, all right, from IKEA, a cardboard kind of inflatable box. And I put, thanks to my little, but I could have printed it on well as well, a little label, manuals and warranties. And guess what? Anything I buy that has a warranty, or the receipt even, I put in there. I staple the receipt to the manual or the warranty and I put it in the box. There's no filing, there's no nothing, there's a box. And it's on a shelf down in the basement and we know that's where manuals and warranties are. All right, today is a gift. Do not spend it inordinately worrying about tomorrow or back there, unless that effort is giving you something you absolutely need today. Is it serving you? Do not be the servant of information. All right. Okay. We'll go till 1 o'clock and hopefully we can everybody by then. Who did I miss? Susie, are you back? You weren't there the last time.
I went. Susie went, unless there's two Susies. Okay. All right. I asked the question about the envelope papers all over things.
Okay, thanks. Bridget, do you want to unmute? Hi, Bridget. Okay, we're going to move on and we'll come back to Bridget. Lori.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I've got a bit of a headache, but that's life. I'm babysitting my twin granddaughters. They're 5 right now. So.
Happy you.
Yes, some days. But I never thought about bringing paper except, well, I missed it last week because I was sleeping. But
is there a type of paper that causes a problem for you?
Well, right now I have some mail from people that had lived at the house, and there's 3 envelopes for the same guy, and 2 of them I can send those back, but then there's one that I just realized there's no return address to send it anywhere.
Okay,
so
marked where it came from?
No, it's just got his address or my address with his name on it.
Okay, does it it has his name on it?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what I'd do is I would put it in my mailbox with return to sender and let the post office worry about that. Because I don't know whether they can track it back somehow from the even to the postal station from the stamp.
Okay, the stamp they put on the stamp.
Yeah, when they're, what do they call it? Racking the mail, or I don't know what they do.
Yeah. Okay. Also, I have. I guess the thing with flyers, because I'm trying to breed dogs for extra money and stuff, and I've been doing it for about 20 some years now. Mm-hmm. But if I use the pee pads, which are cleaner and easier, they chew them up and eat them and whatever. So I've been using newspapers and so I've got newspapers or flyers everywhere.
Okay.
And then of course there's certain ones I can't use if they're too small or if they're glossy, then
yeah,
they don't soak up very well for the puppies. But I don't throw them out unless they're.
Do you have a contained spot, Lori? Do you have a contained spot that you could, like a box, that you can put your newspapers in? And when that box is full enough, you don't need to keep any more until the supply goes down?
I used to.
Try that, because the one thing, you have a legitimate need, all right? However, it can get out of hand and it can start causing you a headache rather than solve a problem for you. And newspapers are one of those things that add to the combustible fuel load significantly. And if you had, you know, like a good size box, and I'd make it a hard side, like not wood or anything, but a definite heavy cardboard box, and I put the newspapers in it. And when it, you know, goes down 3 inches, I'd add another 3 inches, and I'd add it. Goes down 3 inches, I'd add another 3 inches. And in the meantime, anything more than that, I would let go. You have to mentally, when you have a legitimate need for something, one of the things you absolutely need to do if you don't want it to be ruling the roost is you need to find a way to contain the supply, because in your mind, you're legitimizing it. And it is legitimate, all right? It is. However, it's not endless. You need a certain amount. You don't need an endless supply. And it's not like there's ever going to be a shortage of newspapers. All right.
Probably not. No. And then also they like to rip them up and chew them and whatever. So, I mean, I'd rather them eat the newspapers than the pee pads. But so I get all these scraps because they've ripped them all over the floor.
I wouldn't keep the scraps. I'd sweep them up. They go out in recycling. Keep your, because it's easy to manage and you don't end up in chaos with dogs ripping papers. I think you must have missed the podcast where my new golden retriever, who was a rescue, and my old lab shredded the bottom two shelves of Gourmet magazine. And we were knee deep, well, ankle deep in shredded paper. And with great abandon, all right? And they do, it's an awful mess. And paper also is dusty, it's gotta. So
ink gets on the floor and then it's all over, and
then you're discouraged. Don't sweep it up. You know what I'd actually do? I'd actually get a spray bottle and spray it until it's just a tiny bit damp, not wet. And I would sweep that up or shovel it up or whatever. And then that would go in recycling. And it would go out right away, and I would see, okay, how much am I down on my bedding paper? And if you're going to run out, if you feel you're going to run out, you know, people, you can say, would you save next week's newspaper for me? I'm a little low. But you have a supply, you maintain a supply, and you don't go beyond that for your own sanity.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay. All right. So thanks, Lori. Bridget. Yeah. Are you there, Bridget? Bridget may have stepped away. Did Bridget step away? Okay. Dawn.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you so much for all this help. It's very helpful.
You're welcome,
Dawn. Okay. My question is, as I've been going through estate papers, I came across a file. So my deceased dad was the trustee for his mother's estate. And these are like 12-year-old bills, but it shows how he closed the estate, and it's the sale of his mother's home and how he distributed the money. And it's like 12 years now. Mm-hmm. But do I need to keep that or can I discard it?
So it's American law versus Canadian law. Is there anybody who's ever had this experience, or they know it because of their work experience, who could express an opinion there? Anybody about family law and estates? Anybody? Okay, Kelly. Yeah. Okay, you may. Yeah. You're on mute. You have to unmute. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Okay, Dawn, would you repeat it?
Yes. Yeah, so I came across a file folder. My dad, he passed away in 2020. He was the trustee for his mother's estate, and he closed everything up around 2012. Do I still need to keep all those papers, like the bills, the final bills that he paid, the final distributions of money and how it was distributed? Do I still need to keep that file folder?
No, not really. Your dad dealt with all the trusts that were set out in the will to him, I assume.
Yes.
Everything was done. It didn't fall to you when your dad passed?
No.
Okay. So it's done. The original estate has been dispensed with, and there's no need to carry it on. If you wanted to keep anything, if there were income taxes payable by the estate, you might want to hang on to those, but they're over 10 years now. And you know, Revenue Canada can only go back 7. So I would say you can let it go.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Kelly. That's great. Okay. All right. Lynn, L-Y-N-N. I've got a few Lynns. Did I get Lynn the last time? Not there. Okay. Chris, do you have a question? I think some people have gone off for a coffee. Okay. Cindy. They've given up hope. Roberta.
Oh. Sorry, Elaine. It's Lynn. Okay. I am here. I can hear you from the rest of the room, but we've already been covered.
Okay, that's great. Chris, are you there?
Sorry.
Chris? K-R-I-S? Nope. Okay. Kelly Applegate.
Was here.
Okay. Yep, Christine, I think we've already... I'm trying to find the people I haven't gotten to. Roberta was there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Roberta.
I'm sort of like the last person that was on. I'm dealing with my late mother and father's estates, and the Bank of Nova Scotia is supposed to be, I've given them charge for my mother's, but I keep getting tax forms, and I've got my mother's investment forms, and it relates to another person that was talking about her investments from years back. I have my mother in investments. Some of those forms should be going to Bank of Nova Scotia, but I've got some of my mother's old forms for investment going back 10, 15 years, and I'm tending to shred them. But this is kind of, my father's estate is somewhat tied up with my mother's, so it's just kind of like a ball of confusion. And I did notice that there were some, in my CRA file, my online file, I am missing some forms, and then CRA actually is missing some of their forms, and I have some of mine. So I can't completely depend on my CRA. And I've also taken over, I have a my CRA account for my father, which I applied for. So it's a lot of
How long ago did your father pass? Already
overwhelmed with stuff.
It sounds like a loop. How long ago did your father pass?
2014, so 9 years.
Okay, and your mom?
7 years, 2016.
Okay, Kelly, you were helpful the last time. Does that, do you have any advice there?
I think my advice might be a little bit different in this case, because the mother's estate is still within that 7-year period of Revenue Canada. And I believe it was indicated that the father and the mother's estate are kind of mixed up together. So I would find a folder at the back of my filing cabinet where I might never look at, but just to hang on to them for another year or so, and then you can let them go.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't know that a CRA, even though my mother's estate is not closed yet, that if it goes on longer than 7 years, they'll keep their nose out of it?
No, sorry. If it's still not dealt with the estate, then it has to be kept open for whoever's acting as trustee to indicate that they've fulfilled the trusts carried out in the will.
Okay, and is that in this case Bank of Nova Scotia then, Roberta?
Yeah, and they're really dragging their heels on it. So I imagine it's probably going to be another 4 or 5 years. I don't know. It's just going so slowly. We thought as professionals, they would have resolved it.
Any opinion on an alternate way to lessen the heel dragging, Kelly?
I'm only thinking that in terms of getting rid of the paper from the woman who was speaking right now, I'd send it all to Scotiabank and say, if I don't hear from you in 10 days, I'm destroying my personal records of this. I'm handing it over to you. Goodbye.
That's tempting.
Yeah. No, it's not just tempting. It's just at a certain point, Roberta, one has to question what is so complicated that it has taken this long, and that there's no end in sight, and that you're not getting communication from the person who is now the trustee who's responsible for finalizing this. And it just goes on and on, because fees are related to that. This is costing you. Bank of Nova Scotia isn't doing this for nothing. They are claiming against the estate for the time they put in. So I think I'd make them accountable. Okay.
Yeah, they insist that and this is true, my mother had stuff all over the place. She was pretty disorganized. Thanks for the genetic gift. But that they're saying, oh, well, she hid things and they can't find stock certificates because they're so old, and the companies want the physical stocks, and they're giving me excuses that probably some are legit, but I mean, my sister and I have signed so many papers and they've lost them, and then they say, well, it's COVID. Anyway, it's just to someone that already a paper isn't a huge issue for me, but I have other clutter issues, and this is just an anvil hanging over my head for years. My neighbor's wife passed away last year, and her estate is sewn up already. He keeps asking me, here, is your mother's? No, not done yet.
Accountability is still like, there's a reasonable time. And if it can't be resolved, there must be another avenue. There has to be another avenue. If the information isn't available, do you go into the next millennium looking for a stock thing? There has to be some limit.
They keep saying that CRA wants every last drop accounted for, and I'm like, well, it just might.
I'd be calling CRA then. I think I'd be calling CRA and asking them whether there's an ombudsman that can sort of be a mediator, because at a certain point, is the expectation reasonable? Because there are fees associated with this, and there must be a way to mediate that. And I know for a fact CRA has a mediator that they have available. But ask for the advice, but ask for it in writing so that somebody doesn't give you some off the top of their head personal advice, as opposed to something that CRA will stand behind. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. It's a good idea.
You're welcome. Okay. One more. I have 416. Are you there? And would you like to pull out two people. Oh, there's Tiffany. Tiffany's volunteering. Hold on. Okay, Tiffany.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for doing this. I can resonate with a lot of what's been shared. I had a concussion in 2019 and actually still had some others, but I am notorious. I don't have tons of paper, but I do have some. But I write notes pretty much on every conversation or meetings that I go to because I'm really active in my community and we're fighting some really big issues with growth. And if I don't have my notebook, I put them on legal paper.
Right.
I date them. I put the highlights of conversations. I listen to political meetings and things like that. I just wonder, I mean, the only thing maybe I took away is maybe you said something earlier, like scanning. If there's ways to streamline, some things I can't necessarily get rid of, but I do try to, when I'm done with a notebook and I fill it, I try to like skim through it from time to time and either mark out what's not important anymore or tear off the pages. Any thoughts?
Yeah, so it depends on the currency of the issues. If you're part of a committee, for instance, and it is an active ongoing committee, I would simply keep the notes in the book and I would use my labeler. I'd use a labeler so that you can read it. And I would label from this date to this date, but I'd be very careful that the continuity of the information is there. All right, it isn't just the information itself. So from January 1st, 2023 to December 31st, 2023, this was the book I used and the notes are in there. And then if you have to, you can go back in. But the other thing too is, how long does your committee work on an issue? And when an issue is over, what is your comfort level with letting go of the background or giving it to somebody who is the history, the history person, if that's even necessary?
I think that's good to know, because one of the tasks in our community is a major, we're a small community and we have a major development coming in. And this, it's a corporation that is pretty behemoth. So I think over time, when it's my part is done, there will be enough information from others that will be shared and collected and collated, that if another community has the same issue, we'll come and seek out our community to see what we did to, you know, to lobby against this unresponsible growth coming in. So that helps. Sure.
Let me show you the kind of thing I'm talking about here. I just realized I've got three of them. Okay, but it's because it's important, all right? It's a record, it's a day record. So there's one that I keep, my day records, all right? Now I also have daily summaries. So Hafsa and San create, or one or the other, create a daily record of any emails, any voicemails, any whatever. What the person's name was, what their contact information is, what the issue was, what was the action taken. All right. And those I keep. But I only keep them for the year.
Okay.
And then there's no point. All right. The other one I keep was here, instance, on the neonatal CPAP. I've got anything having to do with the Bwindi neonatal CPAP. Oh, and if I can remind you guys, if you promised a donation and you attended the workshop, could you please get your donations in? Because I need to know what my bottom line is before I start spending money. Because it's not like a dollar that we're spending. It's significant. That would be great. So though anything to do with that, but here's the other thing too. The folder or the binder, all right, doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be chronological. So if at every day, get yourself a two-hole puncher, get yourself a three-hole, get yourself the tools that you need for whatever the system is, all right? Don't be improvising. Keep it simple. If the important thing is chronology, as it is with the daily summary, but the neonatal doesn't require chronology. All right, so I get some information or something. I'm just going to stick it in the back of the binder. And I know I have do a quick scan when I've got it, when I receive it, and I know, okay, there's information in there on that. I don't know what it is. When I do need, that's when I make it a priority today. Okay?
Great. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
You're welcome. Okay, everybody.
Elaine?
Yeah?
Elaine, you wanted us to remind you what you talked about at the beginning about the to get on Zoom. You
want to
say it again.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much, because I would have hung up. All right, so, yeah, Christina, do you need something? Hold on.
Sorry, Beth, I needed, yes. So you were saying for people who haven't sent their, have you received my check? Do you know?
Can I answer that in a second?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Maybe the day record. Okay. Inadvertently, the meeting ID got put on Facebook and the password. The meeting ID is not the issue. The password is the issue. The combination of those two creates a possible, I've got nothing better to do. Let's hack. Okay. Zoom bomb. This particular podcast. And so as of next week, there will be same meeting ID. There will be a new password. And the reason that's important, you'll get a link with the new password. All right. The reason that's important is should you ever not have that new password, you can't go back to a much older link that you've got in your email, which should be cleaned up, by the way. And, activate it. Okay. When that password's changed, it's changed. And if anybody has people, a group, a friend, whatever, that they think would benefit from joining the group here, have them go to hoarding.ca, hoarding.ca, and subscribe. No cost, no headache. And what happens is they get put on the invitation list automatically, which is organized by a platform called GetResponse. When we send out those invitations on Monday morning and on Wednesday morning, and we select the group, you are now a little unit in the GetResponse column, all right, under podcast. And everybody in that envelope of information is going to get an invitation automatically. Good? Okay. We will see you next week. And Carrie, hold on just a sec. I'll have a look. Or Christina, sorry.
Elaine, I sent it out over a week ago.
Milton?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. We got Elaine. It. Yes.
Woo-hoo. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Elaine, just to let you know, this has been really, really helpful for myself and I think a lot of people on the chat today.
Yes.
I missed the beginning. Did you talk about possibly doing this one more time?
You want to do it one more time?
Yes, 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 yes.
Sure. Okay. Next time, make it so. We will do. But this time, bring your piles.
For me, I won't be here next weekend, next Wednesday, because it's close to Easter. And so I don't know what day you're going to be doing it, but it was just so wonderful today. And I thank you so, so much.
You're welcome. Okay, we'll do it next week because we'll just do it in a row. That way it'll get recorded and it will get in a sequence. All right. So send your quick questions in, Christina, by email and I'll answer them.
Okay.
Elaine?
Okay. Yes. Where am I? Yep.
Elaine, yes. Could you check also if you received my check? It's Jean Draganza. It's from California. And again, thank you so much. I really appreciate opening up to everyone. It's just nice to see all the similarities and learn from everybody and your responses to everybody.
Elaine, that is a beautiful brooch you are wearing. I've been admiring it the whole time.
Oh, thank you. I got it with earrings. I got it. It's sort of my thing. I got it many years ago in England. And I love it. So I have both a question mark and a Dean, can I have a look at it through Hafsa's eyes, who is the finance person? And because I'm supposed to send you something anyway later today, right?
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, everybody, onward and upward.
Thank you again, Elaine. Super helpful.
Bye-bye.